Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Good afternoon, it's Sean Kreitz with Fort McMurray Matters, and today I am joined with Brian Wanner, Executive Financial Consultant and Division Director for IG Private Wealth Management. And Brian, today we're going to be chatting about life insurance.
Yes, Sean, thanks for having me on McMurray Matters today. Really, really appreciate it to share information on life insurance and how that fits into everyone's financial plan.
Yeah, no problem. So I guess first question right off the bat is, how does it fit into everyone's financial planning? Because you work with clients like every day.
Well, Sean, you know, as a certified financial planner, when we are sitting down and analyzing, you know, a client's longevity and looking at their total financial plan, there's various components to it. And one of those components is preparing for the unexpected. You know, the six pillars of a financial plan are planning for your major expenditures, you know, how do you maximize if you're a business owner, business success, preparing for the unexpected, managing your cash flow efficiently, and sharing your wealth. And, you know, if you do not have adequate insurance protection and preparing for the unexpected, it can derail all other plans that are in your life. So it's like having a stool with three pillars on it. And if one of those pillars is not there, it's going to crumble on you. So that's why, you know, when we're sitting down as a certified financial planner, insurance has to be a topic of discussion because it's strategies that protect, preserve, and provide for those people that you care about.
And then, so what does life insurance cover?
Well, life insurance, it covers many, many, many things. I mean, when you're looking at life insurance, it could be utilized to cover the spouse that's maybe a stay-at-home mother there to that's raising the family, looking after things. It can include and your children. You need insurance because maybe there's disabled family members, maybe there's aging parents. Anyone who depends on your earnings to make ends meet should be having life insurance looked at as part of their overall financial plan.
And life insurance is usually when you get to like a workplace. Is it required for every workplace to provide it, or that's usually the times that I've seen it?
No, only if life insurance is included in the work package in regards to the benefits that each individual business may have. But quite often I found in working 23 years in this industry, it is inadequate. There is not enough coverage in place for what consumers may have for debt or further financial planning needs. You know, when you're looking forward, you know, as we journey through life and we look through our windshield of life going forward, as a certified financial planner, I got to look at people living to age 90 now. And for women, I'm leaving using age 95 or 100 because ladies outlive men by an average of anywhere from 5 to 6 years. So the insurance is critical, you know, when you're looking at planning, because when someone does pass away and you have an estate, basically you got three beneficiaries in your life. You can leave money to family, to CRA, and to charity. And we want to know which two do you want to leave your money to? And that's where insurance can be utilized appropriately.
Okay. And then is there different types of life insurance, or is it just like one cut, that's it?
No, there's various types of insurance. So when we're looking at the types of life insurance, basically there is term life insurance, where for a period of years, whether it's a term 5, term 10, term 20, your premiums are fixed for that period of time. But after that period of time, they jump up and go going forward. And that's where people quite often will say, I don't need the insurance because now their debt's reduced and they don't need that particular amount of coverage. Or they might say, gee, I became a diabetic now. I may not qualify for insurance. I want to convert some of that insurance to a permanent type of insurance where that can be used for my estate planning. So when you're looking at insurance, basically you're looking at the insurance to either create an estate. So let's say you're a young individual and you're just getting started, and you want to get insurance when you're healthy, because you got to plan for the unplanned. You never know how things can change in one's life, and we've all really, in the last 20 months, 24 months, you know, seen what's happened with COVID and how it impacts all ages, okay? So having that insurance in place protects the loved ones you have at home. It could protect the, you know, the children, to give them the opportunity to go to university. It could prevent the spouse at home, if something happened to the major breadwinner, that the mortgage is paid off, and have retirement dollars available for them, because your biggest asset is your earning ability going forward in your lifetime.
What about, do you have like a rough number of maybe like what the average, I guess, life insurance costs, maybe like a floor and a ceiling as well? Like, what are people looking at here?
When it comes to that, Sean, the prices are totally different, because, you know, if you're a smoker, the rates are usually double what a non-smoker is. And if you are in good health conditions and you get, you know, basically there's always underwriting done. So you do an application for insurance. It goes through underwriting. And if you are a very healthy person, sometimes you can get special pricing, reduced pricing than what the average person would get. But now, if you are a smoker, and a smoker is someone who is using tobacco, nicotine products, or any smoking cessation products or vaping, and their rates are usually doubled. But if someone was classified and got insurance as a smoker, and they did not smoke for 1 year or more, they could get reclassified down to a non-smoker status.
Okay. So then how do you prove if someone's a smoker?
That is true.
Because if you go in, wouldn't everyone just say, like, what? No, I don't smoke. What are you talking about?
That's a very good question. So when you're doing an application, we will ask those questions. And there again, it's on an honor system. But through blood work and through the underwriting process, it can be determined. If, example, Sean says, hey, I'm a non-smoker, and through the testing that it comes up smoker, or through checking through your medical records as well, that would surface in there. But here's the thing: when you are getting your own personal life insurance, Sean, is the underwriting process is done. Checking out your height, weight. So if someone's not quite tall enough and they're a little bit overweight, there could be a rating on their policy. We never know what could surface from the underwriting process, but if an offer is made, that means the insurance company is willing to take on the risk, and here's what your rates will be. So let's say, for instance, Sean is applying, and he says he's a non-smoker, and it shows that he's a smoker, and it gets approved that way, and it's found out within 2 years that he lied on his application and he passed away, then that insurance may not pay out.
Wow.
So there's very critical that that these things are answered professionally and correctly in regards to that.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense, just in case, like you said, if it does come to that extreme, you would want to be covered for everything.
That is correct. 100%.
Again, it's Brian Wanner here on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Sean Kreitz. We're just going to take our first break of the day, and then we'll be right back.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7.
Hey, we're back with Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Sean Kreitz, and today joining me is Brian Wanner, who is a executive financial consultant and division director for IG Private Wealth Management. We're chatting life insurance. And then, so how much life insurance would you say, like, someone like myself or someone listening need?
That's going to depend. Everyone's situation is different. It's like a financial plan. It's like your personal DNA. So for yourself, Sean, like, you know, if you have a home, let's say you got a home. Now you got a debt of, say, $400,000 or $500,000. And instead, I always recommend to the clients, instead of getting the mortgage insurance through the financial institution, I encourage them to have their own standalone policy. I will give you an example of this and why this is so critical and important. one of my first clients 23 years ago that I ever sold insurance to, we sat down, we did an insurance review. He had coverage through his employer, and we identified a $500,000 gap. And he's saying, I still got insurance. And his wife said, no, we went through this process, and there's a gap of $500,000. Well, unfortunately, 4 years later, this client went to the dentist, found out that there was a growth on his tongue, and et cetera, and it was diagnosed as cancer, and 3 years later, he passed away. Upon his passing away, he did have the house with mortgage insurance through the financial institution. That paid off $25,000. All it did is paid the house off. But had we not had this additional coverage of insurance for his wife and the two children, aged 10 and 12, her financial situation would have been in dire straits. By having that money, I walked through the door with a check to deliver within 30 days of this client's passing to help her on her way as she's grieving, on knowing that financially things are in place to assist her. Quite often we're the ones walking through the door with a check when you have insurance, when everyone else is pulling money out the back door saying, you owe us for this car, you owe us for this, you owe us for that. So that's why insurance is critical. And we really recommend people have their own personal insurance, because had this client had a larger amount of insurance, that money, insurance is always paid tax-free, and it's paid outside the estate, okay? And you can have various beneficiaries on any insurance policy, because insurance policy can be used for businesses as well, which is critical. We call that a business will, and that's where businesses use what we call a buy-sell agreement, where one person... let's use this as an example. Sean, you and I are business partners, and we got company ABC. Mm-hmm. And the value of our company today is $500,000, okay?
Yep.
So you want to insure me for $500,000. I want to insure you for $500,000, so that, God forbid, if Brian passed away, that my wife, Debbie, now doesn't become your business partner, who may not know anything about our business.
Mm-hmm.
This way, that money is there to be able to pay out to my spouse, okay, and that money, so the business is yours. And we call that a business will. So when you're looking at life insurance, there's various types of beneficiaries. It could be a person, it could be several people, it could be to an estate, because quite often, why would you put insurance to an estate? The reason for that could be because you want to make sure that all taxes and everything are paid in advance of an estate distribution. It could be put in a trust for minors if the beneficiary is under the age of 18 in Alberta, or that beneficiary could be a charity as well. And by giving money, you know, as I said, basically upon your death, there's three beneficiaries: family, CRA, and charity. Giving money to charity can create a donation credit for you to reduce money that's going to be going to CRA. So part of our planning as planners in working with our clients is to try and disinherit CRA as much as we can.
Okay. And then when you do have a beneficiary, does it have to be family, or can you choose who?
You choose. And that beneficiary can change if down the road, you know, you're going through a divorce or separation, and that you can change your beneficiaries as well on any insurance policies as you go forward.
Does anyone ever get like denied life insurance when they apply?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do, because of the denial happens in the underwriting process, where it's a contract between you and the insurance carrier. So, I mean, I represent, you know, Manulife, Canada Life, RBC Insurance, and Sun Life. So I got various carriers that I can use. So sometimes if there is a denial that one of the carriers says, no, we're not going to insure Sean, for instance, I can go to other carriers to see if there is a willingness based on your medical condition to give a contract to yourself. The denials can quite often happen in the insurance industry when people are buying insurance through financial institutions, because the underwriting is done after someone passes away. And if someone didn't answer those questions correctly when an application was being done at a financial institution, it can really cause have it and the insurance policy could be denied at that particular point. So if Sean's doing an application with Brian, our information is all gathered up front. The insurance company's gone through the underwriting process. And if Sean became a diabetic 5 years, 10, 15 down the road, that as long as Sean keeps making his payments, that insurance is still in place and would pay out upon Sean's passing.
Once again, it's Brian Wanner, Executive Financial Consultant and Division Director for IG Private Wealth Management, taking our second break, but we'll be back with a couple more questions.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103 Points Now. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
How many times should an individual like myself or anyone listening review their insurance? Like, do it once and then it's covered for the rest? Or should it, how often should you update it?
That's a very good question, Sean. It should be updated anytime there's a family change, and that change could be, you know, more debt being taken on. Someone buys a cottage and now they got another $500,000 of debt, or there's a new addition to the family. Okay, or the other things are that, you know, and a lot of people don't realize this, but you've grown a lot of money, especially pre-retirees and retirees, you've grown a lot of money in RRSPs, and now here basically you've deferred that money on taxes. But God forbid, if you passed away, Revenue Canada's got their hand out saying, Sean, you got $500,000 in an RRSP, now you got to pay tax on it. So 48% of that money has gone to CRA, Sean. Ugh. And I'm sure that if that was the case, quite often clients would be turning over in their graves knowing how much money's going to CRA.
Yeah.
And with the proper tax planning, these things can be minimized when you're looking at your estate by using another type of insurance, which is permanent insurance.
I guess what are the living benefits of like still owning while you're alive, like kind of life insurance?
Well, the living benefits of the life insurance are, if something happened to Brian, I still have payments. So I still got car payments, I still got taxes, I still got mortgage payments. So the person left behind is able to continue to manage that. They don't have to put a house up for sale. They don't have to change things. That the kids can still go off to university as originally planned. That the debt is retired and there is still that money that's been saved for retirement would transfer over to the other spouse upon the passing of that person. Okay. So that is one part of the living plan. The other part of the living plan is, if you do buy what we call permanent insurance coverage, and that can be what we in the industry call a whole life policy or a universal life policy where there's an investment component to it, the investments that grow in that policy grow tax-free and are paid out tax-free. So it's another way of using insurance to minimize your tax liability or to optimize an estate and to minimize the estate. So everyone's situation is different. Some people want to leave money for their children. Others say, nope, I earned all my money myself. I don't want to leave any money, but I want to make sure I got money for burial costs, funeral costs, those types of arrangements. And that can range in the neighborhood of anywhere from, you know, today, $20,000 to $25,000, depending.
All right. You've educated me pretty good. That's all the questions I have. Anything that maybe I haven't asked that you want to get out there for everyone listening?
Well, I guess one of the key things is life insurance is a final way of telling your loved ones, I got you. So planning for the unplanned. We don't know, you know, we can't escape taxes and debt, but planning for it you can do. And for pennies on a dollar, you can get proper life insurance in place to make sure that you've got your loved ones covered. So planning for those what-ifs can show a loved one that you got them the whole way through all their lives. And by having life insurance, you're saying to the family, I love you, I've got you, I'm seeing to your future no matter what happens.
No, it's very well put. Thanks, Brian. Thank you so much for joining me today on Fort McMurray Matters, and we appreciate the financial literacy that you blessed us with.
Well, thank you, Sean. I look forward to being able to offer more educational pieces on what financial planning is and how people in our community can optimize things. So don't think just because you got some coverage through work is adequate enough. Quite often I've found through doing financial plans for my clients, it is underfunded and people don't realize all the things that they should be looking at when they're making an insurance analysis. And that's why we sit down, we ask the probing questions to give them the right numbers to know that they're going to be okay.
Hey, very well put. It's Brian Wanner, Executive Financial Consultant and Division Director with IG Private Wealth Management. Thank you so much for joining me today, Brian.
Thank you, Sean, and wishing all our community a terrific day.
Thanks, Brian. Hey, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Sean Kreitz. If you want this interview or maybe some previous ones that you want to listen to again, you can always find them over on our website, Fort McMurray Matters, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you later.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.